along the lines, I want to share just some additional scriptures, some things along the lines we were sharing this morning, and to bring everybody up to speed where we were today, find four openings. You got four fingers. Find 1 Corinthians 2:12. Find Romans 8:32. Find Matthew 6:33. And find 1 Corinthians 3:21. I hear they are again. 1 Corinthians 2:12. Romans 8:32, Matthew 6:33, and 1 Corinthians 3:21. Everybody got that? Those of you parents who have your children with you in the service, I hope you encourage your children or require your children to bring their Bibles. Start them out real young. Start them out flipping these pages and finding these books. And get them familiar with how to use the Word of God. 1 Corinthians 2:12, this verse. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. It is the desire of the Lord, and the ministry, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit, is to reveal for us, or to unfold for us, or to expose to us the things which God has freely given. Now, we inquired this morning as to what things God had given, and we went to Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son. Let's go up to the 31st verse. That's such a good verse. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely, there's that word freely, oh, I love that word freely, by his grace, you see, not by our works or worthiness, by his grace, freely give us what? All things. All things. He gives to all of us all things. He delivered Jesus up for us all, and he's giving us all things, all right? And then, in order to just knock in the head this idea that God only wants to give spiritual things and that the material things you kind of have to grub out of the earth, that is the devil's lie. Now, you do have to work, and you do have to apply yourself, and even before the fall, you go back and read in Genesis 2:18 that God put Adam in the garden and told him to dress it. There's productive labor and productive work involved even after the resurrection of Jesus. Work is not a curse. All right? God has given that we have a need to work. And those that don't are the unhappiest people in all of the world. But we are to, through our labors, we are to produce. It is God's means of providing for us. But I want you to see that we are not working against the will of God when we provide for ourselves material things as well as spiritual. And we read through Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 33, but I will just summarize tonight the 33rd verse. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Get your priorities right. Put God first in your life, put his word first in your life, his kingdom first in your life, and his righteousness, that is your relationship with him in Christ Jesus, put that first in your life, and all these things shall be added unto you. Jesus is teaching along the lines of what you're eating and what you're drinking and what you're wearing. He's talking about material things, not spiritual things. Put the spiritual first, but don't reject the material. God wants you to have not only the spiritual things. When he talks about all things, he means spiritual things as well as physical things. It is the desire of God to bless his people. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and to bless them in a material and financial way. We found out this morning that it is not the will of God simply to maintain his family. He wants to provide blessings for them. You dads, don't you feel that way? You know, your family could live on cornbread and beans and maybe a glass of milk once in a while. But don't you enjoy buying a steak? Your family could get along. Your children get along on one pair of, your boys get along on one pair of jeans and a shirt of some kind. You could do it with one, just washing it at night, couldn't you? I mean, is that right? But don't you want them to have more? Isn't that what you desire for them? Of course it is. And our Heavenly Father is the same way. He is not wanting only to provide our absolute necessities. He's wanting to provide blessings for us and abundance for us. He wants to give more and more and more. Not so we can lavish it and spend it on our own lusts, but so that, I tell you, when God does something for you, don't you see what has happened to me today since God's done this boat deal on me? I mean, that's what happened in my life. That's what happened. I am so overflowing with the joy of the Lord that 24 hours just will not contain it. And that in this church service won't contain it. And that's what God wants to do. He wants to bless us. And then what are we going to do? It's, oh, thank you, Dad. Oh, I love you so much, Dad. You've been so good to me. And that kind of praise that comes not for what I can get, but just in spontaneous response to the goodness of God, that's the thing that just floods his heart with joy. 1 Corinthians 3, verses 21 and following. Therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world, listen to that, or the world or life or death or things present, listen to that, things present or things to come, not just spiritual things that are going to that we're going to reach when we cross the river and get over into Jordan and get a little cabin over there in Glory Land, but things present right here in this house, in this life, all are yours. You're Christ's. Christ is God's. Because of this familial relationship with God, everything is yours. Everything is yours. He wants us to be blessed. Now turn with me to the book of Galatians, the third chapter, and this is where we're going tonight. I just wanted to refresh us on some of the things that we learned this morning. For those of you that were not here this morning, you perhaps would take down these scriptures, Deuteronomy 26, verses 12 through 17. Ask for the illumination of the Holy Spirit. Malachi chapter 3, verse 11, verses 10 through about verse 14, I believe. A very important key in those two passages of Scripture. Now, because of some other things I want to do here tonight, because I'm sensitive about what we did this morning, and I'm sensitive about burnt offerings and that sort of thing, I'm not going to read all of these verses. I'm going to read just a few selected verses through chapter 3. You may want to, after the service tonight, when you get home, read them for yourself, read some more, and kind of get the context. But I'm going to pull a few verses out. And basically, the message that I want us to get a hold of from this passage of Scripture is Paul's exhortation to the Christians in Galatia that God, through our faith in Jesus Christ, has opened up the channel of the blessing which he promised to Abraham to the church. And then we're going to find out tonight a little bit about Abraham's blessing. One of the best songs I think that David Engels ever wrote was, "You never get Abraham's blessing with a Thomas kind of faith." Have you ever heard that song? It's a very good one. It's very, it's just alive with truth. You'll never get Abraham's blessing with a Thomas kind of faith, a wavering kind of faith. The message is not the faith that produces Abraham's blessing tonight, but rather, what is Abraham's blessing? We hear a great deal about the blessing of Abraham, and it's come upon the Gentiles through Christ, but what is the blessing of Abraham? All right, that's kind of an ethereal, smoky, wispy kind of a dream out here. Well, I know that it's good because it's blessing, but I don't really know what that blessing is. I don't really know what to expect God to do for me, since I'm a believer in Christ and entitled to the blessing that he promised Abraham. What did that all include? And so we're going to have a smorgasbord of blessings tonight. And what I want you to do is just kind of get your plate out and get you a big two-prong fork. And as we go by these blessings, I want you to reach out and you just stab the ones you want and just put them on your plate, so to speak. You follow? Now we're going to have, I think, 15 or so of them. I mean, a table full of them. And you may not want them all. Because, well, you'll see as we get in there, you may not want all of those blessings. But the ones you do want, I want you to know that you're entitled to them because of your faith in Christ and because of the covenant we have. And then you just kind of stick your fork in there and pick out the ones you want. And spiritually speaking, so you just kind of put them on your plate and claim them for yourselves, all right? Appropriate them for yourselves. If you have a need tonight, I believe that as we review Abraham's blessing, that you will see that in Abraham's blessing, that need has already been promised. And you simply lay hold upon it. Reading in the sixth verse now, and reading a few verses. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, that's us, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Would you read that ninth verse with me? So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. If you're in faith tonight, if you believe in Jesus Christ, if you believe that He's the Son of God and the Savior of sinners, and that He is your personal Lord and Savior, I want you just to raise your hand. Now, this verse is about you. If you are in faith, that means if you are in by faith in Christ Jesus, you then might be blessed? Oh, are. What's that mean? Present tense, now, it's a reality. It is a present day reality. You are blessed. Karen sang tonight, see yourself through the eyes of God. Look through the eyes of God's love and see yourself that way. This is that same idea. Begin to see that as far as God is concerned, you are already blessed. You are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now, your blessing comes to you not because of your faithfulness. No, no, no. Because your faithfulness is imperfect. On whose faithfulness is this blessing based? On the blessing of Christ. Jesus is the one that has received the promises given Abraham, and we find our entry into those blessings through Him. Do you understand that? Was Jesus faithful? Amen. You bet He was. That faithfulness is imputed unto us as our own, and we're entitled to that blessing on that basis. Do you understand that? Okay. Now let's go up here to the 13th verse. Christ, familiar verse, hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Why did Jesus do that? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? Me. That the blessing of Abraham might come on me. Say that. That the blessing of Abraham might come on me. How? Through Jesus Christ. That's what I've just shared with you. Do you understand that? That he might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. All of the promises that the Spirit provided, they are appropriated to us simply because we believe them. Now, this is more than just a promise of eternal life. I don't want you to misunderstand this. Yes, it is a promise of forgiveness of sins, free pardon, and eternal life. And if that's all there was, it'd be worth preaching, and it'd be worth shouting about, and it would be worth believing for, and it'd be worth appropriating. But this is much more than just a simple, how can you say just a simple promise of salvation, as glorious as that salvation is. In spite of the wonder and the amazing salvation of God, the blessing of Abraham is more, if it can be more. It is more, and you judge for yourself whether it is. But I want you to see in the 16th verse that this is not just one promise. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises. Oh, plural, underline the last S there. Promises. Promises. You see, a great many people have read this passage and they see the promise that was made to Abraham, the faithful one, the blessing that was promised him is righteousness by faith, and that's all. But that's not true. That's only part of it. God made Abraham promises. Those promises constitute the blessing of Abraham, and that blessing of Abraham is ours because of our faith in him. Verse 26 now. For ye all are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. We become God's children not by being born, This verse and John 1:12 really knocks in the head that all men are brothers. All men are not brothers. Spiritually, we're not all brothers. There are two families in the earth. God's family is made up of those who have been born again, of those who have been exercised faith in Christ Jesus and become children of God. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now watch verse 27 and 8, or 28 and 9, I'm sorry. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. What's that talking about in context of what we're sharing tonight? God is no respecter of persons. If you are in Jesus Christ by faith, you are a recipient of the blessings of Abraham, whether you're male or female, whether you're Jew or Greek, Gentile, whether you're a slave or free man, whether you're bond or otherwise, no matter what your social or physical condition, God does not respect your person. You are not any more entitled or any less entitled than anybody else. And when I stand in this pulpit, as I did this morning, and share with you what God is doing in my personal life, and I shared with you this basic truth, and I just wanted you to see this scripture tonight, that what God is doing in our lives, He will do also for you. He wants to. He deeply, deeply wants to bless you. All right, now let's look at the 29th then. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God promised. Faithful is He who promised, who will do it. Now let's go to the book of Genesis and let's examine the blessing of Abraham. Now I'm not going to do it all. We don't have the time, and I would really get a reputation as a long-winded preacher to try to do that twice in the same day. I must tell you this, though I've told you before, and I'll just say again, that God spoke to me once, and he's reminded of me of it several times since, numerous times since. He said, gather the people often and speak to them for long times out of the Word of God. And so I really can't do anything else. And you may think, well, he could say that in a lot fewer words, and it's possible I could, but I'm doing the best I know how to do to just be obedient to the Lord and feed you the food. Some meals takes longer to eat. You know, you can wolf down a hamburger and fries. But when you sit down to really have a big meal, I mean, you don't get up in 15 minutes. It may take you an hour and a half or 2 hours to savor, you know, the whole thing. And when you get a 7-course meal, it just takes time to consume it. And we need to be prepared. You don't want to stop by church as if you're stopping by McDonald's, because you're not likely to get a McDonald's burger, fries, and Coke, you know, when you come here. So, you know, please plan when you come for a big meal. The first thing that God gave to Abraham, and I believe the overriding foundation of the promise or the blessing, was God promised Abraham righteousness. That God gave to Abraham, it's in the 15th chapter, I think, let's just turn over there, 15th chapter, verse 6. Righteousness is the basis of the blessing. If Abraham did not have right standing with God, he would not be entitled to the blessing. It's the same with us. If we do not have right standing with God, if we do not have righteousness, now I'm not talking about holiness. I'm talking about righteousness. You understand? How many of you understand the difference now between righteousness and holiness? All right, for those of you that did not raise your hand, let me explain it to you simply. And it's more complicated than this, but simple explanation goes this way. Righteousness is a condition and a position. A position, I'm sorry. Righteousness is a position. It's what you are. It happens to you when you're saved. When you take Jesus Christ as your Savior and put your confidence in Him, you are righteous then. You have granted to you the gift of righteousness. Paul talks all about this in Romans. You are as righteous then as you will ever be. You will never be more righteous. The word righteous means justified, and that means in a saying, just as if I'd never sinned. The state of righteousness is a state of being right with God, having nothing to separate you. Now, holiness is a condition. We can be more or less holy on the basis of how we think, how we act, how we our attitudes about things and so on. And we can be progressively more holy or progressively less holy on the basis of the choices that we make. And at various and sundry times in our life, we are either more holy as we yield to the ministry of the Holy Spirit and become more and more like Jesus as we deny the flesh and yield to the Spirit, or we become less holy, less like Christ, as we yield to the flesh and deny or subdue the powerful ministry of the Spirit in our lives. You can be more or less holy. You cannot be more or less righteous. There is no degree in righteousness. You either is or you isn't. It's kind of like, as they say, being pregnant. You are or you are not. There is no variation there. Holiness is not like that. Holiness is a condition based on your lifestyle and based on the decisions that you make. The most important thing about the promise of Abraham is righteousness. Chapter 15, verse 6 of Genesis, "And he believed in the Lord, and he that is the Lord counted it to him for righteousness." Now that same thing happens to us when we believe in Jesus Christ. God says, "I declare you righteous. I make it like you never sinned. I remove your sins from you as far as your east is from the west, and I will not remember your sins or your iniquities anymore. You are now right with me." It is as if you have never, ever sinned. I have washed you clean. It is a gift. Are you understanding that? And so the first, and I guess if you were to draw an umbrella over all of the promises that constitute the blessing of Abraham, the umbrella would be righteousness. Because apart from righteousness, there is no blessing. And so the first blessing, the first aspect of Abraham's blessing is the state or the position of being right with God. Now let's go to the 12th chapter, and I'm just going to read you verses, and I'm going to give you tonight, I said 15, that's right, I'm going to give you 15 promises or 15 aspects, perhaps is a better way of saying it, of the blessing that God either promised or gave to Abraham. The first one is righteousness, which is acceptance with God. The second one is contained in Genesis 12:2. "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Here's the promise. I'm going to make of you something more than ordinary. I'm going to make you great. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to cause you to be known and to be respected, and I'm going to cause you to be a blessing to those around you. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm going to take my two-pronged fork and I'm going to stick it right into be a blessing. And I'm going to grab a hold of be a blessing, and I'm going to put that right on my plate because that's something I want. I want to be a blessing. And so here that is on my plate. When you find something you like, you dig in and get some of that. Now, we move down to the next dish, and it's in the third verse. "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." God's promise was, I will make you a blessing to your friends and a curse to your enemies. I want that one too. Here we go. I will get some of that. I want to be a blessing to my friends, those who bless me. And I want to be a curse to my enemies. That doesn't bother me at all. Now let's go to the 13th chapter and the second verse, and let's get the fourth aspect of this blessing. "And Abram was very rich in spiritual things." Oh, wait a minute. Let me look at that again. Oh, geez, my eyes here. "And Abram was very rich in cattle." Is that a spiritual thing? That's a material thing. "In silver and in gold." Wealth and riches, material riches, is a part of the Abrahamic blessing. "I'll take that," he said. Praise the Lord. Don't you be afraid to take these. See, they're all yours. They're all yours. Didn't he say that those that are in faith are blessed with faithful Abraham? So they're yours. Do you know one thing I found out about God? And I'm relearning it over and over again. God is blessed. I want to bless God, don't you? God is blessed when we receive. Not when we pull that old humble act. Well, I don't really need it, Lord. You give it to somebody that needs it better, needs it more than I do. That's spurning it. How would you feel if you gave somebody a birthday present and they refuse it? God's given presents. I mean, He is pouring them out. He has opened the windows of heaven and He's pouring them out to His people. And many of His people, either because of ignorance or false humility, are rejecting them. Don't reject them. Make your fork work here. All right? Wealth and riches are part of that. Let's look at the fifth aspect of the blessing of Abraham. It is in the 13th chapter, and it's in verses 15 and 17. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Verse 17, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it to thee. Much property is a part of the Abrahamic blessing. Now I'll take that one. I'm a good steward of property, and I think I can look after it as well as the next person. I would like to have enough property that I couldn't walk across it in 3 seconds. Do you know what I'm talking about? I like to have a place where I can just kind of walk and be alone and not elbow my neighbor if I go for a walk. Much property is aspect number five. Aspect number six of Abraham's blessing is right in the middle of that in the 16th verse. Now watch this one, because you want to think about whether you want to claim this one or not. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Now, if you're going to claim that, first of all, be sure you're married. And secondly, talk it over with your husband or your wife. Please don't be claiming that individually, all right? But what is this sixth aspect? Many descendants. Many descendants. A posterity that is called by your name. I'll take that. Amen. Number seven. Aspect number seven of the blessing of Abraham. Aren't these good promises? Oh, you know, we're probably skipping over a couple of dozen. But I just thought it would be interesting. You could take this 12th chapter and just read it for yourself and just ask the Lord to open it up for you. But I thought we'd just take tonight a few of these and kind of give you the idea. And perhaps it would stimulate you to believe for some of these, perhaps look up some others for yourself. The seventh aspect is in the 14th chapter. And the passage we're going to read is verse 14 through 16. Now the situation is this. Abraham's nephew, one of his own flesh, had made a bad decision. He decided to go live in Sodom. Some of you may have children or family members who have made bad decisions also. And perhaps they have chosen to go live in a hog sty, or they've chosen to dwell in the midst of a Sodomite people, and you're praying for them and you're believing for them and so on. But I want you to take some encouragement tonight in something that God did for Abraham. When Lot went to live in that Sodomite city, and this whole passage here, a fella could just preach a right good message out of this section. But I'm going to abbreviate it and just say this, because I want you to get a hold of it. Those of you who are believing for lost loved ones, those of you who have relationships that are broken and you have loved ones that are perhaps living in sin, and maybe deep, deep sin. That's the condition that Lot was in this circumstance here. And while he was in Sodom, four neighboring kings became confederate, and they came and routed Sodom. And they carried all the Sodomites and all of the people from Gomorrah away. Lot was among them. Now, when Abraham found out, and see, as long as Lot wanted to live in Sodom, he had his own free will, and Abraham leave him alone. But when they came and took him away by force and brought him into forced slavery, Abraham says, "Ain't no way that's going to happen." And Abraham rose up with his household. Watch this, verse 14. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, actually his nephew, but his relative, his kin, He armed his trained servants born in his own house, 318. Now, you've got to understand this. Abraham had only 318. He had no children. All he had here was servants. And he was going against an army of four kings. Now, get this perspective. Here is a tiny little band of renegades, and he's going to take on an army under the head of four kings who has just destroyed five cities. And he pursued them to Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them. And pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods. Notice that, all the goods. And he brought again his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also and the people. And here's the promise that I believe that God is speaking to us. The seventh aspect of God's blessing to Abraham is victory over great odds. Victory over great odds. No matter what your circumstance. Now you could put a sub under that, that God will help me rescue my kin from bondage. There's another one in there that I didn't even list. So there's two good ones in that passage. All right, now let's go down to the 21st verse of the same chapter and we'll look at item number 8. Now after Abram came back and he brought all these goods along with Lot and so on, and it says that he went by Salem, which became Jerusalem, and he met Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem, the king over the town that would subsequently become Jerusalem, and he was the priest of God, and Abraham freely and voluntarily gave him tithes. But then when he came to Sodom, in verse 21, it says, the king of Sodom said unto Abraham, give me the persons and take the goods to thyself. Now here's some pressure from a king requiring Abraham to do something that he knew was wrong. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, I have lift my hand up to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take a thread even to the latchet, that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou shouldest say, I have made Abram rich. In other words, his answer was, no, I will not give you what you demand. And aspect number 8 to the blessing of Abraham is this one, power over pressure. Power over pressure. I'm taking that one. Amen. Here is powerful pressure from a king. And Abram had the capacity to resist that pressure and those pressure tactics. I believe all believers need that kind of blessing, that part of us. That is part of the blessing of Abraham. That we would not be intimidated by pressure tactics from anybody. Number 9 is over in the 15th chapter. And this one is fairly direct. Genesis 15 and 15. And thou shalt go, God speaking to Abraham in a dream, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. One of the aspects of the blessings of Abraham is a long life and a good old age and a peaceful death. I'll take that one. Praise the Lord. I want that. Did somebody bring me another plate, will you? Bless the Lord. Everybody ought to take that one. Some of you aren't taking it because you're too far away from considering that situation. All right, the 10th aspect is, I'm not moving too slowly for you, am I? The 10th aspect is in the 18th chapter. And this is the very familiar passage of Abraham's intercession with God. Remember, God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah for their wickedness. And Abraham stood in the gap for these people. And in the 23rd through the 26th verse, and Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are within or therein? Then be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. Then be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And number 10 in this list that we are making tonight, I have called influence with God. Influence with God. That we have the right under this line of promise, we have the right to go to the Lord and lay a case before Him, not only for ourselves, but for others, and to expect to influence the outcome of that situation. And Abram was bold to beseech God and intercede on behalf of these folks. Now, the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis contains item number 11. And as I said to you, I just skimmed this quickly and I just pulled out some highlights. But does this bless you?
Amen.
I'll tell you, I'm beginning to get happy. In the 19th chapter, Sodom and Gomorrah is destroyed. Do you remember that God sent His angels to bring Lot and his family out? Let's find out why God sent His angels to bring Lot out. Verse 29. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when He overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. I call this number 11 protection for the family. Even though Lot and his family did not want to leave, God remembered Abraham, and He protected Abraham's relatives. I take that one too.
Amen.
And I'm going to believe God for the protection of my family and my relatives, whether they want it or not, simply because God remembers me. If God remembered Abraham and protected Lot and his family, then God will remember me and protect my family and my kin for the same reason. Because I am an heir to that same promise. That because I'm of faith, I am blessed with faithful Abraham. These blessings and these promises are mine. And I'm not going to walk by the table and not partake of them, not receive them. Bless the Lord, that one's mine. In chapter 20, in the 17th verse, there is the conclusion to the story of Abraham and his situation with Abimelech. And you'll remember that Abram had, he had messed up really badly here, and he had passed his wife off as his sister, and Abimelech had taken her into his harem and was going to use her as a wife, as a concubine, actually. And Abraham was not really operating in what we could call holiness here, was he? But he was a righteous man, wasn't he? Now, this is a good example, you see, of the difference between righteousness and holiness. God blessed him, not because of his holiness, because he lied. God blessed him because of his righteousness, because he believed the Lord. And he came to Abimelech, that is, God did, in a dream, and said, "Man, you're dead. You're about to have another man's wife." And Abimelech in the dream said, "Oh, my Lord, what have I done?" And he didn't realize what had taken place, and then he restored Sarah back to Abraham. And we're told that during the time that Sarah was in Abimelech's harem, that the wombs of all of Abimelech's women and all of the people in Abimelech's palace there were barren, that they were all unfruitful. And they were in that condition when Abraham had his wife restored to him. And the Lord had told the king that if he would ask Abraham, Abraham's a prophet, and Abraham will pray for you, and you'll live, and you'll get healing for your people. And so in the 17th verse, benefit number 12. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. And I call this benefit healing for others. I want that one. I want to be able to pray and to seek God and to acquire healing for those who are sick. That is part of the Abrahamic blessing. It is ratified by the ministry of Jesus. You see, this is something you must understand about Jesus' earthly ministry. Jesus was born the Son of God, but Jesus most often identified Himself as the Son of Man. He did not minister here as the Son of God. He ministered here as a Spirit-filled Son of Man operating under the Abrahamic covenant. Do you understand that? When Jesus was here, there was no new covenant. He was operating under the old covenant. The new covenant didn't come in until Jesus died. Don't you remember? He gave the cup and He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." Jesus did not do a single thing under the new covenant. Everything He did was under the old covenant. Those that He healed under the basis of the promises that God made Abraham. Don't you see that? I said, don't you see that? Okay, it's just kind of settling in for some of you. That's all right. And so Abraham, as part of the blessing that God gave Abraham, as part of the blessing that he was to be to others, item number 12 is that he had the capacity to touch God for the healing of other people. Now in Genesis, the 21st chapter, verse 1 and 2, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. I call this number 13, I call this miraculous events. That a man who is of faith and is operating in the blessing of God and the blessing of Abraham has miraculous events as a regular occurrence in his life. Now, obviously, this was a stunning miracle. Abraham was 100 years old. His wife's womb was barren. She had ceased after the manner of women. She no longer ovulated. But God had done a miracle for the two of them. And I believe that that is part of the blessing of Abraham, and that is walking in the midst of the supernatural. The blessing of Abraham involves not only the material blessings and these other ones that we have examined, but also walking in the supernatural, walking above the circumstances. I'll take that one too.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Put that one right on my plate. All right, now number 14 is in the 22nd chapter. And the 22nd chapter concerns the story of Abraham's taking his only son Isaac, the child of promise, Sarah's only son, I should say, to Mount Moriah and preparing to offer him sacrificially to kill him because he felt that was what God had asked him to do. And he was quite willing to sacrifice the promise that God had given him, the most important of all of the promises, and that was his own son, his own heir. He was quite willing to sacrifice. And then in the 13th and 14th verses, as Abraham had lifted up the knife, Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his thorns, by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Now Jehovah Jireh means God our provider. And the 14th point that I have made is provision by God. Of all the things of life that God will provide, if it's bread you need, God will provide it. If it's transportation, He'll provide it. If it's shoes, He'll provide it. If it's a sacrifice, He'll provide it. Whatever it is that He needs. If it's health, He'll provide it. If it's deliverance, He'll provide it. If it's peace and comfort, He'll provide it. God, our provider. And then, if I can sum it all up, we'll go to the 24th chapter, and I'm on the last leg here. Chapter 24, and this is so appropriate. God, if God ever anoints you, if He asks you to preach and teach His word, and you know that you have His anointing to do it, please do not restrain yourself, and please do not resist the Lord. Do it. It is such a deeply satisfying ministry. It's such a deeply satisfying work. It's not a labor, exactly, just a work. To see how God confirms His word in so many different ways. Now, look, this may not mean that much to you, but it means so much to me when I read the 24th chapter of Genesis, verse number 1, and see how God ties everything together for us. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham, say it with me, in all things. Now, doesn't that just put a cap on today?
Amen.
That God has blessed His people in all things. Now, I've read that verse many times before, but I never really hooked it all together with what He was showing us today. And the marvelous thing that I see from God's Word, the more I read it, the more I study it, the more I have opportunity to teach from it, and to preach from it, the more impressed I become that this is one whole, that this is one message from cover to cover, that it's one God, more fully revealed as we move from Old to New Testament, but still the one God, and that when you read it all the way through, you don't find any contradictions, you don't find any oppositions in there, you find simply confirmations. And here, we start out this morning in the New Testament about how God has blessed us in all things. And I only gave you a few references, but enough, I think, to just kind of put it together for you. And then here we wind up today. We wind up this evening at the end of the day, and we find out that God blessed his servant Abraham in all things. Now, for me, that encourages me to believe that if God blessed me with faithful Abraham, and Abraham was blessed in all things, then I also am blessed in all things. I'm blessed in cattle. I'm blessed in gold and silver. I'm blessed in blessing. I'm blessed in righteousness. I'm blessed in protection for my family. I'm blessed in miraculous and supernatural events and all of the rest of those things that we discussed as we were sharing there tonight. Did you learn anything tonight? Amen. Does it minister to you tonight? I felt impressed to share some of those tonight to reinforce some of the things that we heard this morning. And I felt that this morning was such an important message for us all as a church and for individual believers that it was almost as if, even though it was a long service this morning, that the repetition was necessary to reinforce this truth and to lock it down deep within us that God wants to bless His people in everything. Amen? Let me ask you to stand to your feet, if you will, please. Now let's pray just a moment. Father, we thank you for your blessings, for their abundance. You are marvelous, Lord. Marvelous. For the encouragement you've given us today, Father, and you have poured so much word forth today that anybody could find something to lock on to believe for prosperity and for abundance in the things of this life and for financial needs as well as spiritual needs, material as well as eternal. Thank you, Father, for your thoroughness in giving so very, very much and not leaving anything to chance. We just feel tonight, Father, like well-fed. We're just really fat cats tonight, if I can use that expression, Lord, and you know what I mean. We are fat in the Spirit. We are well-fed in the Word, and we just rejoice in your presence and thank you for the ministry of your Holy Spirit and the gifts that you have employed to bring these wonderful truths to us and to approach it from all these different ways. We see how deeply you want to bless and to minister to us. Oh, how wonderful it is to know that. I thank you, Father, for calling me to preach the gospel because it really is good news. It's good news. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for working in my life. Thank you for working in the life of this church. Thank you for working in the life of all of these people who are here gathered. Thank you for the wonderful, varied, and rich blessings that are ours because of our faith in Jesus. And yes, we could find lots of good reasons why you ought not to do it. And the devil would give us twice as many as we could think of as to why you shouldn't do it or why we ought not to take it. But we're going to base our believing and we're going to base our confidence on what you said. Not what some lost preacher said. Not on what some misguided soul said. Not on our feelings. Not even on the basis of what some well-intentioned brother or sister may have said. We're going to anchor our believing and our expectation to the Word of God. And your Word is abundantly clear in this area. We also confess, Jesus, that you are Lord. That you're absolutely Lord. You are sovereign over everything. Over everything you survey. All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto you. That means you rule here and overrule. And so if you want to bless, and we'll just get in line and believe you for it, there's nothing to stop that blessing from coming. Absolutely no force, no power that can prevent that blessing from coming. I thank you, Father, for the miracles that you are doing in our body. I thank you, Lord, that because of the of the word that you've brought forth today. I thank you for the things that are going to be happening in the lives of our families. We just stretch our hand up right now and say, Lord, thank you for these things that are being added to us, which we can't even see. Some of them that we want, and some of them that we don't even know that we want, but you're giving them nonetheless. We say, Lord, we receive. Lord, we just receive your blessings. Not to consume, but to enjoy and to employ with others. Thank you, Father. We receive what you're giving, Lord. We receive it. Thank you for it, Father. Thank you for prosperity in our businesses. Thank you for new opportunities for business. Thank you for raising up new businesses and more businesses among the body. Thank you for houses and lands. We're well willing to give them up for the gospel. Well willing to, Lord. That's no problem. But then if you want to give them back to us, Father, we just well willing to receive them too. And to hold them in custody for as long as you want us to have them. And we'll be willing to give them up again if that's what you want. Because we know that you just keep giving. We thank you for cars. We thank you for appliances. We thank you for clothes. We thank you for funds. We thank you for the capacity, Lord, to provide blessing to our families and others. We thank you for not only seed for ourselves, but that we might provide an abundance to others. We thank you for health and healing. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for joy and rest and all of those eternal blessings that for which we are not just a little bit grateful. Thank you so much, Father. What a joy it is to be yours, and what a joy it is to know that because we're of faith and because we're in Christ Jesus, we're your children, we're heirs of the promise, and we are being now blessed, are blessed with faithful Abraham. Hallelujah. Bless you, Father. Praise God. Praise the Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord.